The Gist. The second of a series of blogs on recent findings on the mitochondria in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, long COVID, and fibromyalgia. This one focuses on ME/CFS. The first ME/CFS mitochondrial study on the docket is only a case report. But what a case report! The senior author of the paper was none other than Alan Light, and that deserves a little digression. Light attempted to do for fatigue what had been done for pain, that is, delineate the fatigue pathways produced during exercise. Alan and Kathleen Light pioneered a series of studies in the 2010s which showed that ME/CFS patients' white blood cells were hyperreacting to metabolites released in the blood during exercise. The Lights went on to show that the response to exercise in ME/CFS and another fatiguing disorder was similar and different. Both diseases demonstrated a dysregulation of the fight or flight or sympathetic nervous system, but only the ME/CFS patient's white blood cells went into a kind of frenzy as they searched for signs that the muscles had been damaged. The Whites also participated in a pioneering heritability study in 2011, which concluded that there was a strong heritable contribution to ME/CFS, i.e. ME/CFS can run in families. It also showed that a group of high-risk family lines were present and should be studied, but which the NIH, rather bizarrely, refused to provide further funding for. After about 10 years of steady work on ME/CFS, the Light's last ME/CFS publication was in 2017. Then, in 2024, Alan Light popped up in an intriguing case study involving a 75-year-old woman who'd been sick for over 20 years, following an Epstein-Barr infection. A deep dive into her mitochondrial DNA and her mitochondria, however, revealed that she had several mitochondrial DNA mutations. The authors believe these mutations would be devastating and have progressive effects on ATP production and mitochondrial functions. They believe the herpes virus infection triggered the mutations by producing large numbers of reactive oxygen species, or free radicals, that already weakened mitochondria were unable to cope with. While we don't ordinarily think of mitochondria as part of the immune defense, they play an important role in mounting the alarm when pathogens show up. In response, viruses produce large numbers of virologs in an attempt to disable the mitochondria and turn down the immune response. Next, a recent animal model explored how fatigue produced by the brain, or central fatigue, affects the mitochondria. The idea that central fatigue could be a big deal makes sense since ME/CFS symptoms are similar to the flu-like symptoms produced by the brain when we catch a cold. The study, which stressed mice but did not make them exercise harder, found that the stress damaged the mitochondria both in the brain and the muscles in several ways. That suggested that changes in the brain could affect the mitochondria in the muscles. The authors proposed that the fatigue, reduced endurance, and cognitive problems found in the mice with central fatigue were related to mitochondrial damage, problems with energy metabolism, and oxidative stress. Once again, they believe that mitochondrial damage played a key role in producing these symptoms. Finally, a very small but perhaps telling Stanford study found that stimulating the T cells of ME/CFS patients resulted in increased numbers of dead and dying T cells. They believed might have been the result of damaged mitochondria which couldn't handle the heat when they were tasked with getting activated. Once again, we were back to the mitochondria, whether in the brain or muscles or immune cells. These studies, all of them small, it should be noted, brought us back to what might very well be the original sin in these diseases: dysfunctional mitochondria.